What's up, iRaters? Welcome to episode 16 of iRations, The Uplifter. I am your host, Drake Peterson, and for those of you who are joining us for the first time, this is our weekly podcast. We are here on all podcast platforms every week to raise your spirits, answer some questions, talk music, talk shop, and of course, talk all things iRation. This week, we have a special guest in the house from the track Guava Lane. We have Miss Ellie Mack joining us later in the show, and we will be doing a sample this of the track Guava Lane. Not much in the world of news this week, but if you are an avid podcaster, the boys have been making the rounds on a few of their friends' shows. The first one you can check out happens to be my podcast called The Drake and Jimmy Ju Show. It's produced by the same producer as The Uplifter, which is Mr. Christopher McCone. So Micah Brown, Adam, and Joe decided to join our podcast, and it's a super fun, uncensored interview. You can check that podcast out on all platforms, or you can visit drakeandjimmyju.com. Micah Brown was also invited to be on the Camp podcast, that's Camp with a K, which is hosted by our really good friends Ryan and Stravs of Catastro. So you can check out that interview also on iTunes, Spotify, and all major podcast streaming services. Today's episode is brought to you by Outer Known Clothing, which is a clothing brand founded by pro surfer Kelly Slater, where over 90% of their products are made from organic, recycled, or regenerated materials. They are set out to change the clothing industry by building clothing in harmony with the planet and taking care of the people they work with while creating durable and desirable products that stand the test of time. Visit outerknown.com today, and for 25% off, use our promo code COASTIN. That's COASTIN. Again, that's outerknown.com, promo code COASTIN for 25% off at checkout. It's now time for Sample This, where we take one iRation song and break it down. In this segment, you will be hearing samples and sound clips from the studio version of Guava Lane. Joining me today are Micah Poosh and Joe Dickens. What's going on, boys?
Aloha.
Osade.
Aloha. So, Guava Lane is a song about youth and the joys of reminiscing. This song definitely is a vibe. And it's a vibe that I definitely can live for. When I hear it, I feel like I'm in Hawaii. I have a pina colada in my hand, and I'm carefree. Poosh, is Guava Lane a real place?
Yes, it is. It's a little road in Kona, kind of in between the Mauka side and the Makai side, which is the mountain side and the ocean side. That sits in, it kind of connects two different subdivisions, like main drags, main subdivisions. And it's just a tiny little road, like one lane road, basically, with like cows and pasture land on both sides. It's kind of just wild. And basically it was just a place where we would go in high school when we were all meeting up together to like drink beers and smoke and do whatever it is high schoolers do. Without getting bothered by people, and like nobody really drove through there besides like other, you know, locals, or the cops would never bust you there for the most part. And so it was like a, you know, kind of a haven, I would say.
It was a shortcut. Like there's the lower road and the upper road. And then in order to get to the upper road, you'd either have to take this super windy road that took a long time and you had to drive real slow, or you go up the super straight road and you cut across Guava Lane, and then you're like,
you get up
halfway there. Yeah.
There's two roads that run like basically around Kona, like that connect the two major, like where everybody lives up on the top of the mountain, and then like the beach, basically.
Joe, do you think that this song is going to make Guava Lane a little bit more popular and crowded?
No, but I sure hope not. I mean, I hope it stays pretty sacred. I mean, honestly, I haven't been down Guava Lane in like at least 5-10 years. I don't even know if it's still there. I'm assuming it is, but there's been so much development in Kona. I mean, yeah, the kids are probably partying elsewhere now.
I mean, the song is more about the figurative Guava Lane than the literal Guava Lane. You know, I think we were all sitting there and we were kind of like saying, you know, it'd be cool. It would be cool to do a song about going down Guava Lane, or I mean, sorry, going down Memory Lane. And we were like, what's another way of saying Memory Lane? And we're like, Guava Lane. And it's funny because we had done I'll just mention we did an acoustic thing with Pepper in Oside at the Lighthouse where Luis's restaurant. And we were just freestyling, and Kaleo had a line where he's like, oh, take it back to Guava Lane. And I was like, I like that. And I didn't think about it. But when we wrote the song, we were like, let's think of a way to say, and this is like months and months later. And we're like, let's think of a way to say Memory Lane. And we said, what about Guava Lane? And then I was like, let's take it back down Guava Lane. And it slowly subconsciously came through. And then, you know, we were reminded that happened. But it was, you know, happy mistakes like that. You know, subconsciously things come through.
I'd say the song on, like, to encompass the song in a word would just be like nostalgia sort of for us, basically. Good memories.
Yeah, I'd say this song is definitely, out of all the songs in your catalog, is the most like island vibes out of all of them.
Island grooves.
So this song has all the standard instrumentation. You know, Joe, you're playing, you know, a nice reggae groove. Kaysen playing his bubble and some piano rhythm. Adam just thumping around as he always does.
Thump, thump.
Got the guitar skanks and all that. But there's some cool Easter eggs in here. My favorite are like the trap snares that King David put over this. What's the story behind that, Poosh or Joe?
Go ahead, Poosh.
I think we were just, it was the beat. I think that was the original loop that we kind of came up with in the studio. Like, this was a song we all wrote together in Santa Barbara. At Sound Design, and we were up in the writing room, and I think we just, when we made the beat, you know, we all like the sound of those trap snares and hats and stuff like that. I think those pretty timeless sounding, you know, 808s and things like that that are kind of always stay in fashion, comebacks go and come and go and come and go, and they're just always there, are always around. And the way that we did it is we have the kind of drum loop that's happening with the trap sounds and some of those other sounds, and then we recorded live drums on top of that. So, yeah, I think that was just the vibe that we had from the demo, and we just kept it.
Joe, how will this affect you playing it live?
Well, I just got to step it up a little more and learn how to play those not so human drum parts, you know. It's not that I can't play it. King David just has a way of like placing the notes in such a spot, you know, that's like a little bit difficult to get to like live, you know? So just takes time. Like, I know some pro out there could easily play it. So if he can do it, I can do it. Just got to figure it out.
Joe, just a little news flash. You are a pro.
Thanks, Drake.
You get paid.
Oh, yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's official.
Today is the first day you realize that you're a pro.
Look at me, Mom.
There's a couple other cool ones. The steel drums, which those originated in Trinidad and Tobago, I believe. What? Did anyone play those? Did King David play those? Did you play those?
I think they were electronic sounds, but yeah. It's funny because Ryan Weddle. De La Weddle from Catastro made a tweet like a few months ago that was like, steel drums are the worst instrument in like all of music.
Oh.
And I was like, I just tweeted at him the song. I was like, what were you saying about steel drums? He's like, not an instrument. I was like, he's still just holding firm on it.
So funny. Well, maybe I need to add some steel drums to my riser when we start playing live. That's another thing to play. Cool.
Just one more thing to load for the crew.
Michael, if you're listening, I need to borrow $2,000.
He needs to get some custom steel drums.
And the other one,
like, what's going on in that apartment down there? Yeah. Sounds like they're having a party.
You'll just see me with a bunch of dreads in a year when we come back. There's also the Santur, which is the bing 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 bing. Which is it's an Indian instrument, but it works so well with all these other island vibes.
What's it called?
It's called the Santur. I talked to King David, and that's what
like a centaur. It's like, you know, like a half man, half horse.
Centaur
hybrid.
Yeah, so it's like a basically it's an Indian instrument. but it's a hammered dulcimer. So, you know, the dulcimer on Already Gold, that's a the bing, 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 bing.
Yeah.
That's a dulcimer, but this one is just like an Indian version of it.
Nice. Well, we'd have to, I think we'd have to say Dave for that, those types of sounds. You know, I love the dulcimer sound. I mean,
same.
Already Gold, it really makes the song, I think. And I think this song, it really adds that. It does have a different, it kind of sits along with the steel drum in a way that you kind of end up associating them with each other, and it doesn't feel like it's like an, you know, an Indian sound. It sounds more like a tropical sound, or just a light, the way that it's light and plucky. Just sounds
that,
nice.
That's what makes Iration, I think, is that, you know, it still has all of these reggae vibes, but there's all these, it's an amalgamation of all these other instruments that it just works. It just completely works.
Yeah.
I want to know about spliffs. Okay, you guys are singing about spliffs, but I've never once seen...
Well, Camille is singing about the spliffs, not me. But, yeah.
That is very true, actually. Speaking of Camille, Miss Ellie Mack, she's going to be joining us here in a little bit. What was the process behind having Miss Ellie Mack perform on this particular track, Poosh?
Well, originally, I was singing the second verse. We wrote it all the way through, and I was just singing it. And at the end of the whole process, we had it recorded, and we're like, well, you know, we've always wanted to have a female vocalist, and we were just looking for the right, you know, fit, for the song fit, obviously. And I always hear her music. I always thought she was really, really cool. She has a cool, like, edgy, like, her voice is low, has a low register, which I always thought was really cool.
Powerful, strong.
Yeah, and so I was like, since we already have it written and it's my voice singing it, it would be cool to have Camille do it because she has she can get in that lower register and still be badass.
I'm in the cool night air and I'm listening to Gregory Isaacs. Said I'm chilling right there with a spliff in my hand, just styling. We were at the party, everybody having fun. Blue lights flashing and we started to run. That's when we go and we go back to Guavalet.
And so when we sent it to her, we're like, if you want to change any of the lines, you know, you can change the lines. And we also asked her to do those kind of like doo-wop-y Motown backgrounds. All those oohs and things that are in the very top of the song and all throughout are all just her doing her thing. And she just changed. She didn't really change too much, but she just changed the song. The original song lyric was in the cool night air. We were listening to Gregory Isaacs. She was standing there with the flower in her hair, smiling. And so it was like about me seeing, you know, the girl in high school, you see the hot girl and she's wearing the flower in her ear and she's smiling at you. You know, it feels good, right?
Mm-hmm.
That she changed it to, you know, in the cool night air, we were listening to Gregory Isaacs. I was standing there with a spliff in my hand, just styling. And I was like,
it works.
Dr. Phil, super sick. Yeah, it was. So I was like, I mean, she flipped it, did her own thing on it, and it made it really, really cool. And obviously, your voice is mental. So
had you met her prior to this project at all?
No, we never toured or done anything like, you know, work together before. So this was really the first time. So she was super down to do it, and she nailed it and knocked out the park. And Guavalane is one of the most popular songs on the record so far that people are responding to the most. So, you know, big ups to her.
Women are grossly underrepresented in the reggae scene. And so I think bringing her on board on this project is amazing, and it's great for women to get out there, and there needs to be more of that.
True. And I think the way that she represents herself, you know, as a female artist is badass. Like, she has a cool style. She's not trying to be like anybody else. She's kind of a singular type of artist, and I think that's what made her seem like the right fit, along with just the way that her voice really fit the song.
Jojo, who is Gregory Isaacs?
Gregory Isaacs, the cool ruler, absolute legend. Like, Reggae 101 is Night Nurse. Night Nurse. Like, when you're a kid growing up and on the Big Island or anywhere in Hawaii, that's like quintessential on your stereo, on your playlist, whatever. Every single day you're listening to that, you know? And he was just, he was there at every beach party, at every surf sesh, every, you know, whatever. So he was pretty much ingrained in our music catalog since the beginning.
And every playlist that somebody was, if somebody was bumping music in the back of their truck, there was going to be a Gregory song somewhere in the mix there, whether it was Night Nurse or Private Beach Party or Stranger in Your Town or Cool Down the Pace from Me Little Woman. Like, all, it's all lovers rock. So it's like this, like, they call it lovers rock, which is like the kind of version of reggae, which is like, sexy, sultry, kind of like more happy sounding songs, like in a more of a major tone. But they, it's like love songs and the reggae songs, which, I mean, we do kind of do a lot of. The Green does a lot of it. Common Kings does a lot of it.
So push the guitar riff right after Ellie says Gregory Isaacs. What is that from? I'm assuming that's a quote from a song.
I think it's from Stranger in Your Town. I think we kind of tried to rip the vibe of that, which is a very quintessential Gregory sounding guitar, which is those like two string slides that are like wing, 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 ba bump, 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 ba bump, ba bump. You know, and it's just, if you're a Greg, if you know Gregory Isaacs, then you associate, you'll immediately put it together. If you don't, then it's just a cool guitar riff, but it's like, it's an Easter egg for the people that are like, you know, Gregory Isaacs, listen to Gregory Isaacs music. They'll hear that and be like, oh, sick. Like, little homage to Gregory, you know?
I could be mixing this up with another song, but I pretty much remember MB saying that this was, the overall vibe was from an Ace of Base song. Is that correct? Or was that Daylight Savings?
Oh, man.
I heard somebody say that.
No, it was not Daylight. It might have been this one. It might have been The Sign.
I saw The Sign.
It's weird. We do that and then we just take, you know, you take the vibe of the beat and then maybe we slowed it down or something or just, I think it was this one.
I'm pretty sure it is, because I was listening to a bunch of Ace of Base before and I was like, I never really realized how reggae they sound. Like, very crazy.
They're good.
Their songs fucking are good. So good.
Well,
I absolutely love them.
They're all reggae. Like, even all those songs are basically like reggae feels, you know what I mean? And there's a lot of songs that have been hits over the years that are reggae feels that people don't necessarily associate with reggae, you know?
Right.
Because they're pop acts. Like, you know, Rihanna, Bad Boy, or what is it? Yeah. Naughty. What is it? What's that song called by Rihanna?
Rude Boy.
Come and give it up. That's a reggae song, you know, No Doubt, Underneath It All, reggae song. Reggae song.
Reggae, another one.
There's a lot more than that. Magic, Rude. Some people don't think that's a reggae song.
That is a total reggae song.
It's 100% a reggae song.
There's so much timbale in that, it's not even funny.
Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about background vocals. What is the process to create background vocals, Poosh? Is that something that is a lot of trial and error? Or does it just kind of flow out of MB's mouth or your mouth?
I think it's something that when we're writing the song, like writing the top line, you're kind of somewhat thinking about what the harmony lines are going to be at that point. Just imagining where they're going to be. And then you don't really like put too much time into it. It's like if somebody's cutting in the studio, like cutting the lead vocal, or we're listening to a comp or like listening to a lead vocal happen, then we're kind of just sitting in the room going like singing the harmonies and seeing like what's harmonies sound good and like where they would fit on the song. And then sometimes you just get in there and go, and like MB is really good at kind of coming up with lines that I like are not the standard lines, you know, which I think is cool. And like coming up with alternate melodies. It's kind of, we talked about this before on one of the earlier, you know, pods, but it was like, just the fact that he kind of thinks, comes about it in a guitar player way, and he's finding like different lines and different melodic repeats and things that, that really give it a little bit of, you know, variety.
I really like MB's vocals on the pre-chorus. It's very like classical. It's very, I don't know, it's super high too. It's very, very high. And
so what part are you talking about?
We were young and we were broke. That part?
Yeah. Yeah, well, because the line, I mean, the line itself, well, we were young and we were broke. That. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a very like,
exactly, yeah.
Trumpety type of line.
Yeah, that one's cool. And then on the bridge, when it goes to like three-part harmony with that lift, it's super fire.
Feeling out of touch. Go back in your mind and don't take much. I don't deny what you feel. You find what is real inside.
Yeah. Super fire.
The bridge was one thing that we kind of took. We did it last and just had to kind of come up with a different line there. And a lot of times we save the bridges are like the last things that we do. Just for some reason, they're like end up being like kind of the hardest thing to write for me in general. But because it's like you have to kind of make a succinct statement in the song. You got to kind of bring everything together. And obviously there's like a chordal thing that has to happen usually, or a musical thing. So
for sure. I feel like we will lay the song down and then kind of like listen to it for the next few days or the next day or so. And then kind of maybe like decide what kind of chords might fit, you know?
Well, boys, thank you so much for being on here. Anything else you guys want to talk about this song before we bring on Miss Ellie Mack?
Yeah, so, you know, in Hawaii, there's the local music is like a mixture of reggae and Hawaiian music, which they call Jawaiian. And this song is kind of a play, somewhat of a play on that. It's kind of it's almost like an homage to a Jawaiian song where it has like, you know, kind of the classic, a lot of the songs that are Jawaiian songs have like a program beat and have kind of a lot of program sounding, like sounds like program horns and kind of the same organ sounds that are, you know, get used a lot. So we kind of wanted to do a little bit different version. It's definitely like has that island feel, that Hawaiian reggae feel, which I think anyone from Hawaii will like immediately understand. But it also, you know, is something that I think the general public can latch onto because it does have those trap snares. It has some like more modern tones and kind of edgier hip-hoppy feeling, you know, things going on as well.
And now a word from our sponsor, Kelly Slater, and his clothing company, Outer Known.
I started Outer Known to make clothing differently. Our jeans are made at the world's cleanest denim facility using less water, fewer chemicals, and organic cotton. We guarantee C jeans for life. Now your most comfortable jeans are also your most sustainable. C jeans, social, environmental accountability. Get yours at outerknown.com.
Special thank you to Kelly Slater and the team over at Outer Known. Make sure to check them out at outerknown.com. You can use our promo code for 25% off, and the promo code is Coastin. Boys, did you guys get your Outer Known bundles the other day?
We did.
What'd you guys get? What'd you get, JoJo?
Couple shirts. I always get boardies because I need boardies always.
I got a shirt super right comfortable. Here.
Oh, what's that right there, Poosh?
It's a t-shirt. It's really high quality stuff. It's like super soft, stretchy. Yeah. Shout out to Slater. Guy's a legend, of course.
Yeah, Slater.
Everybody knows.
The total goat. Legend.
And they've been super cool. And Zuri, X-Man's
thank you, Zuri.
Wife, they've been super cool about getting us clothes and. It's all like sustainably made and done all the right ways. So shout out to Outer Known. It's really high quality clothing. If you guys are looking for something really nice, go check it out.
Check them out at outerknown.com and 25% off with our promo code Coastin. Now joining us are Micah Brown, Adam Taylor, Kason Peterson, and calling in live from San Diego, Miss Ellie Mack. What's up, girl?
Hey.
Arriba.
How are you doing, Ellie?
I'm good.
Thank you so much for coming on to The Uplifter, and thank you for being on Guava Lane.
Thank you for having me on the song. I love the song. I'm loving it so much, all the reactions, and I'm so stoked to be on the album with you guys.
Stoked.
Yeah. Thank you.
Stoked to have you.
For all of our listeners, can you just give us a little background about who is Ellie Mack?
Ellie Mack is Camille. My name is Camille Velasco. I was born in the Philippines. I moved to Maui when I was moved to Hawaii when I was 2 years old. I'm from Maui. And, you know, just singer girl from Hawaii. And I love hip hop and roots. And I love food.
Sick.
Jamming out.
You fit right in.
Us nice. Too. I didn't know you're from Maui.
Yep.
What part of Maui are you from?
I'm from Haiku, the east side.
Nice. My dad is from Lahaina, so.
Oh, nice. West side.
Yeah, west side.
Yeah, well, I lived in Oahu and then in Maui, but I always say I'm from Maui.
Yeah, well, that was where you first came. Yeah. Is that where you first came to from Philippines?
Well, I actually first went to Oahu and then I moved to Maui in eighth grade.
Oh, okay.
So I did high school and And then after that, I went to Cali like right away after high school at 18.
Wow.
So just been traveling everywhere ever since.
Was that when to pursue music or what were you?
Yeah, so when I was 18, I auditioned for American Idol and I made the top 10.
Oh, wow.
It was crazy. And then after that, third season. And after that, I just been chasing this music ever since.
Nice.
Cool.
Yeah.
In Guava Lane, the song is obviously about, you know, reminiscing and all that, you know, your childhood. When you were given this song, did you write your own verse or how did that all work out for you?
The verse was already written. But when I got the verse, I kind of tweaked a little thing here and there. Just one line. The line that says, "Chilling right there with a spliff in my hand, just dialing." I just switched that line. But the rest of it, I mean, I could totally relate. You know, hopping in the back of the truck when the cops show up, everybody got to dip out and the party's over. And so I could relate to the song right away when you guys sent it to me.
That's good. That's a good thing.
Reminded me of back home, the upcountry parties.
Yeah,
I think upcountry parties are probably pretty similar to Big Island parties.
Oh, you know? Guaranteed.
Yeah.
What is an upcountry party?
Oh boy!
Come on, tell the Howley.
You gotta pop your cherry, man.
It would be like if you went to a party in like Calabasas or something.
No, it'd be like if you went to a party in like Tijuana or something.
Pomona or something.
Joshua Tree.
You'd be way more out of place than Calabasas. Yeah,
Calabasas is like that's nice. Super highbrow.
Yeah, that's nice.
No, upcountry Maui is the kind of part of Maui that is where the, like in Waimea, where the Paniolos and the cowboys and there's open pasture land and it's a little bit more country. That's why they call it upcountry. In Waimea,
Do you remember how you felt when you went to that after party after the concert in Hilo with Chris McCone?
Let's see which. Oh yes,
it would probably it'd be kind of a similar vibe to that.
Like you were,
we rolled up there and they looked at us like, "Who the hell are these people?" And then Nidra was like, "They're fine, they're okay, they're allowed." And then all of a sudden it was just like we were just showered with food.
Wait,
and
why is Nijo like the Howley gatekeeper all of a sudden?
Yeah, right?
Nijo's like, "They're good.
They're with me.
I'm from
Kailua. These aren't the white boys you're looking for."
Ellie, where did you cut this song?
Right here in my house.
Amazing.
Yeah, my boo, Mr. Louis Castle from Tribal Seeds Band. He is my secret weapon. So he does all my recording. He's producing most of my album right now, actually, that I'm working on. And we did it right here in this room. Was it on this mic? On this mic.
Oh, my Sick. God.
I love all his, I've been watching a lot of the Instagram handle Hits Pon Hits. And it's got a lot of the
Hits.
Yeah, he's on all those playing rhythm guitar from the music box in San Diego with all the reggae legends. Love that.
Nice. Yeah, they're backing up all the artists that come through.
Louis, what's up, brother?
What's up, man?
So speaking of new music, what are you going to be releasing soon? Anything?
Well, I'm working on my first full length album. It's my third album. My first two albums were EPs. So this one, I, you know, really wanted to just get in there with a full length for the first time. And we're about maybe 70% done. You know, we got about 7 songs, trying to do at least 10 or 11. And I'm hoping to release it sometime 2021, since 2020 is canceled and all.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe like spring 2021.
Yo, whatever happened to those murder hornets, by the way?
Right.
They just came and went.
We just skipped that. We skipped all the hornets.
Nobody cares about murder hornets anymore.
They didn't want a piece.
So They're gone. Murder Hornets showed up to 2020 and were like, nah, fuck this. We're out of here.
They're like, nah, never mind. Maybe 2021.
We'll come back. We'll come back when you need us.
Yeah, right. There's too much going on right now.
Other than having Guava Lane on repeat, who else are you listening to right now?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'm loving Jhené Aiko. Shucks, you know, honestly, when I'm recording an album, I don't really listen to too much. Mm-hmm. But when I do listen, I usually go back to my 90s rap. I listen to a lot of Tribe Called Quest.
Yes.
Wu-Tang, you know, Lauryn Hill, she's my favorite.
Yeah.
Erykah Badu, she's my favorite. And I'll just put it on Pandora and just let it play, really.
That's cool. You can definitely tell your vocal influence is coming from like Lauryn Hill and Erykah Badu and some of those kind of like 90s R&B soul singers. Yeah.
I'm stuck in the 90s.
Nothing wrong with that.
Go.
It's all coming back anyway. The 90s is all coming around again, you know. A lot of people are like listening to Kosen and they're like our album and they're like, yo, you guys, this sounds kind of pretty 90s.
Right, throwback.
All right, whatever.
I love it.
Micah Brown and I got to go to the OC Drive-In show to go check out Common Kings. And Common Kings played there for 2 nights. And the very first night you got to play on that stage. What was it like playing that kind of a show with people in their cars?
It was cool, man. Like, it was good to be back on stage, you know? It was a little different, but it was still cool. It was still fun, you know? It was like being at an upcountry party. Everybody bumping out of their trucks, just hanging outside, you know, in their car and just bumping tunes. It was lovely. It was great to be back, and I hope there's more drive-in concerts.
Did it feel like a normal show, or did it feel kind of a little bit different? Or
it was like different but same,
yeah,
you know. It was like,
gotcha.
Yeah, it had the vibe, but you know, it was cool, you know. I'll take it.
Could you hear like the audience like their applause and stuff, or is it too spread out?
Yeah, it was a little spread out. It was kind of like, oh, let's hear it for our girl Ellie Mac. It was kind of like, you know, kind of like I could see them, but like it wasn't like the, you know, like
I was kind of wondering, do people like honk their horns or like flash the light or anything like that?
Yo, you know what? I don't know if they told them they couldn't, because that's a good question, because I feel like I should have heard more horn honking, but there wasn't.
I feel like between songs there wasn't, but they would the MC or the host would call out, like shout, like honk your horns.
Right,
you know,
right.
And everybody would for like a second, but then I think maybe between songs.
Like, it was flash your bright psych.
One troll could ruin the whole show for everybody if he was just sitting out there with his horn.
Oh, yeah. Just flashing, turning on his high beams.
MB, what did you feel being in the audience? What were your thoughts on the overall experience?
I thought as a fan, it was pretty rad, honestly, like just because there was still pretty well social distancing. Like if you wanted to, you could stay in your little circle. You didn't have to mingle with anybody. You didn't have to come in contact with anybody unless you're like going to the bathroom or something. But there was people twerking on top of their cars.
Right.
It was a good vibe for sure. It was definitely like a big tailgate, you know, like reminded me of like a pregame, like at a football game, a tailgate, you know, just a huge parking lot party, but with live music and people just having a great time. So I feel like from the fans' perspective, it's a pretty cool experience. I can't speak to how it was on stage, but I'm sure artists would get used to that if it becomes the new norm. I feel like it seemed like it was a pretty good success though. So
yeah, definitely.
There were some like people were drinking, getting on top of their car. I was like, this could end very poorly. Like someone just fell.
I'm trying to figure out if there's like an officer waiting, like checking every, like after, like, did you drink? Like,
that's
what
I was wondering.
How's this gonna work?
Yeah. That's definitely a worry. It's like you. Everybody has to have a DD when they're showing up. There.
Right.
I cranked the motor like at the end of the. Right at the end of the last song, I was pulling out of the spot, and we like beat the rush.
We were the first out. It was definitely the best.
Can you leave in the middle of it? Like, is there a way to like exit?
They were
like,
saying if you have an emergency, you text a number, and then one of the parking lot attendants would like kind of escort you out and make sure there's nobody like in your way.
That's kind of crazy to think about. Like,
what
if you had
to go.
What
if your car is like parked right in the front?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, that would suck if you're on stage and all of a sudden the cars in the front start driving away. You're like, oh, shit. Like,
it makes it a lot harder to leave early without being like, there's no Irish goodbyes in this kind of situation here.
Like, I hope everybody's, you just had to go to the bathroom or something, you know? Right. Not over the show at this point.
Kason, are there any plans for Iration to do any kind of shows like this in the future?
We were discussing it, yeah. I mean, I think it's on the table for us. For us, I think we just want to make sure that, you know, everyone's going to be safe and that, you know, I mean, that's the main thing. Everyone's safe. So if we can manage it, yeah. I mean, what do you guys think?
I mean, they got this one here in Ventura. I know Sublime with Rome is playing. I think it's August 7th, and I ride my bike by it to check the surf, and the stage looks cool, and I've seen like all the cars. It looks like a pretty cool thing. I want to go check it out for myself, like in a car. Do you have to stay? So you don't have to stay in the car, right? You can set up like a lawn chair, or what's the deal?
Yeah, people were bringing their patio furniture and shit.
Yeah,
oh, really?
Yeah, there was like a 15 by 15 square or something like that. It's like a double wide parking spot, and yeah, you can chill outside. But yeah, a lot of people were hanging in the bed of their trucks and stuff.
Nice.
Ellie, did it feel safe being on stage? Like, did you have to wear masks up until the point of, you know, performing, or what was it like from your perspective?
Yeah, people were wearing masks backstage. I'd take mine off. Some people play with theirs, but it's kind of hard to breathe in those things. So, I mean, but I know we have to wear them.
Yeah,
on stage, no. Backstage, I was wearing them. Yeah,
yeah, when you're singing, it's it's kind of weird. That's pretty tough. It's like singing in your shirt. It's like pulling your shirt over your mouth while you're singing. It's like,
yeah, it's like we all look like ninjas, like Mortal Kombat. Like, everybody's like,
that's
awesome.
That's a good way to do it. That's a good way to put it, man. More people would be down if they were like, yo, you look like a ninja, dog.
Like
sick. All right, I'm down. Put my ninja mask on.
Exactly.
Ellie, I have a question. Women are, in my opinion, are grossly underrepresented in the reggae genre, and it's definitely, I feel like it's changing, and I think it's great that Iration had you on this track. Do you have any words of wisdom for any young females out there looking to make it in this scene?
Yeah, definitely. Just go for it, sis. Just go for it. YOLO, you only live once, and you know, for me, I'd rather go for it than like not go for it, and then later I'm like, man, I should have went for it, you know. And I hate living with like regret, you know. And to me, it's just be yourself. If you love this music, you know, share it with the world. And I think the best way to do it is by being authentic to yourself, whether you're a rocker chick or you're a reggae chick or a hip hop chick, you know, just be who you are. And I think that's what's going to be more natural to everybody receiving it. And hey, you know, at least you gave it a try, you know, and there's nothing better than just knowing that you did go for it, you know. And yeah, just go for it. That's what I say.
Definitely.
I think that's what drew us to you, and specifically for myself, like your authenticity, and you're true to yourself. Like you said, you are who you are, and you don't try to bend to any like aesthetic or anything. It's just like, and I think that's why we all were like, yeah, she'd be a perfect fit, because she just has attitude, she has style, she has her own thing going. In your voice, in your clothes, in your style, your brand is super authentic to me. So that's, I think, big ups for that.
It's Thank awesome. You so much. Thank you. I try my best. You know, all I can be is me. So,
yeah, that's awesome. And we talked about in the before we got on here, we recorded kind of like a breakdown of the song and how we kind of thought about your, you know, picking you to jump on the song or asking to be on the song.
Right.
And
right.
I was always just like, I have a buddy named Tunji that's kind of a big time record exec now in the music industry. And he hit me up a few years ago and was like, yo, what's up with this Ellie Mack girl? I was like, and that was, yeah. And that was at the time, Dubstop had just come out. So I was like, yeah, she's badass. And so I think when we were thinking of, you know, who would make sense for, to have on this song, I was like thinking like, you know, you for the first thing that came to mind, like, and plus your vocal, because your voice is got a, you have a lower register.
Yeah.
I was like, she'll be able to sing dude. In the same. Oh yeah. You know that.
Ew.
But no, but it was like, you won't have to change the verse too much. Cause it's already, you can hit that register. So, and obviously it worked. People are, it's like, you know, pretty much that's everyone's favorite song. That's the most responses we're getting are people like really love Guava Lane. So,
oh, thank you.
Congratulations to you. Yeah. Congratulations to you. You killed it.
Thank you. Congratulations to you guys.
Much love. Yeah, you hit those high notes on those backing vocals too. I feel like you got some range that you're sitting on.
I got some highs too that, you know, I don't really display too much, but it's really mostly about my lows. But yeah, I had to get in there a little bit with them highs too.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the spliff. You got to have a little bit of both.
We got highs and lows in life.
Have you ever been to Guava Lane?
Many times.
Everyone's been there, figuratively speaking, of course.
I'm there right now, actually.
Yeah.
Wow, look at you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you have any live performances or anything in the future? I mean, did you have to reschedule any shows from this year?
My whole year got canceled. I mean, and I'm sure all of our years got canceled. But yeah, as of right now, I don't have any live shows that are scheduled, not even for 2021. So if you guys are looking for someone, you know,
we'll talk off air.
For sure, yes. For sure.
Well, let's go ahead and plug all of your social media and everything so that we can, you know, make all of our listeners follow you and find everything about you.
Yes, please. You can find me on YouTube, on Facebook, The Real Ellie Mack. The best place to get a hold of me is my Instagram. That's where I'm the most active and I talk to my fans the most. My Instagram is Ellie_Mack, ELI_MAC. And yeah, come holler at me. Say what's up.
Anything else you want to say, boys?
Hi.
Once again, yeah. Thank you for gracing the track. It sounds great.
Thanks. You killed it, I think so. Thanks is the...
We'll definitely have to get you on tour so we can sing it live. I think that's the next step.
Awesome. No doubt.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys, for your music, for the years and years of music that we played at all the upcountry parties. And you guys are so awesome. Great guys. And thank you for letting me be a part of your journey.
Thank you.
Love you guys.
Thank you for killing it.
Thank you.
Thank you all for listening to this week's episode of Irations, The Uplifter. Don't forget to subscribe and rate the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever your preferred podcast platform is. We hope you're loving the new album. And thank you once again to Miss Ellie Mack for being on the show. Give her a follow on Instagram at Ellie_Mack or visit her website at imelliemack.com. And remember, when the news gets you down, you can always tune into The Uplifter.
Right on, you guys.
Yeah, I'm coasting. Nothing in the world could ever take this from me. Alive with the feeling that your loving gives me. My groove today. Been watching race guys move away. I just don't think that I can.
news and let the sunshine play. Something more, something new, something you get attracted to. That light that shines on water in the midnight.